the Shore Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Shalom, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome to this week's Torah Tidbit. This week, we're going to be taking a look at the Torah portion called Pinchas. Pinchas, or Phinehas, is the name of the son of Eleazar, who was the son of Aaron. And he is the man who, in the previous Torah portion, took a javelin and killed Zimri, who was a prince of Simeon, and a Midianite woman who had been engaging in licentious behavior at the very door of the tent of meeting. As a result of their sin, there was a plague that was sweeping through the camp of Israel. And when Pinchas performed this deed, that plague was stopped. Thus, the beginning of the Torah portion in Numbers chapter 25, verse 10 reads, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, or Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel," that is, the plague, "because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore say to him, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood." And here's why. Because he was zealous, and that's the word we're going to kind of emphasize this week. He was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. And so then, as we see, as a result of his actions, God rewards him, even as others are bringing accusations of murder against him. Now, an incident like this is difficult for many people to wrap their brains around, but the reality is this. Rather than focusing on the fact that he took the lives of two people, by the way, who were committing these terrible acts in God's face, more or less, instead of that, he saved the lives of thousands. And so what many would perceive as cruel and unusual punishment for righteousness' sake is apparently, in God's eyes anyway, in this particular case, akin to removing a cancerous cell from a body. I don't want you to misinterpret what I'm saying. I don't think it's wise to go and in your zeal take a javelin and run somebody through. Definitely not. Because if you do that, chances are you're going to prison. But I am saying that we should glean an important principle from this particular Torah portion and Pinchas' zeal. And that is, if a cancer is allowed to remain and to coexist with healthy cells, then the cancer is eventually going to consume and destroy those healthy cells, consequently, in the entire body. And so my point is then that Pinchas reacted to a grievous sin that had the potential to affect and ultimately destroy the entire body. So then, out of concern for the nation, he reacted with this great zeal. His thinking was that the cancer has to be cut out and it has to be eradicated. And looking at things from God's point of view, in that particular case, he did the right thing. Let's look at it this way. No one relishes the thought of a person being strapped to a gurney and put to death by lethal injection. No one is going to be happy about the fact that someone's going to be led to the gas chamber because they're going to die. But there is something to be said about demonstrating what the consequences of a particular crime such as murder really are. These things lead to death. And furthermore, were those who committed such acts tolerated in a society? Were that allowed to coexist with society? It wouldn't be long before the entire society was infected with a murderous spirit. Again, sometimes for the sake of the entire body and for the sake of preservation of life, cancerous cells, if I can put it that way, have to be removed. Otherwise, the entire body dies. Now, I want you to consider another notable Pinchas or Phinehas from Scripture, also a son of Aaron, but also the son of Eli, the high priest. And we can read about him in 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 4. This Pinchas, along with his brother Hophni, the Bible called them sons of Belial. or children of Belial. The Bible said that these two priests didn't even know the Lord. And so in this case, instead of staying the moral decline of the nation like the former Pinchas did, they were in large part responsible for the moral decline of the nation. In other words, they were the cancerous cells. And as a result of their degradation and their committing licentious acts, get this, at the door of the tent of meeting, they died and many others died with them. Now, had God not allowed that cancer to be removed, then we would presume the entire nation would have suffered even more than they did. And the same is true where the first Pinchas is concerned. Had he not acted in the manner he did, even though it might seem abrupt and cruel and harsh to some, even more of God's people would have died. God said this, "Pinchas turned back my wrath when he was zealous for my sake." And so then God determined that far from committing murder, Pinchas' actions actually saved lives. Now, it is said in rabbinical sources that this particular Pinchas acted in the spirit of Elijah, in that his motivation and his zeal is to be compared to that of the prophet. Now, I personally find that interesting to consider in light of who and what Elijah is and who and what he represents. I don't have the time to develop that thought here, but to kind of boil it down, I believe that Elijah, the Tishbite, represents the wild branch. That is, those of us who have joined themselves to the God of Israel and to His people. So, if that's the case, are we to display the zeal of Pinchas? Before we answer that question, I want to read to you from the book of Psalms in Psalm 106. It says this, "They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him," that is God, "to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas," or Pinchas, "and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore." And so then, when this Pinchas saw what his countrymen were doing, he rose up. He was very zealous for the things of God, and he decided to take this very dramatic action. Now, I certainly don't recommend that we allow our zeal to become such that we take the same kind of dramatic action that Pinchas took. However, I am saying that we, as His people, need to be zealous for our God, to be zealous for His house, to be zealous for His ways, and especially as we see God's people kneeling to the ways of the world. Quite frankly, the Scripture says that you and I are to be zealous for the things of God. We can read about that, and well, there's many verses that underscore that. The Bible tells us that God Himself is very zealous. He's zealous for Zion. He's zealous to perform His will. So then, zeal is a good thing when it's used for the right purpose. The right kind of zeal is good if it comes as the result of a proper motivation. And I would add this, if it's tempered with wisdom. Now, that being said, we have to conclude that this Pinchas acted really out of love and out of concern for the nation at large, because I would argue that had he been motivated by anger and hatred, it would not have produced the same results. But now we read that on the other hand, the Simeonite Zimri's actions were seen as idolatrous, they were immoral, and they threatened to destroy the character of the nation of Israel. And so Pinchas kept that from spreading more. As a reward, God made a covenant of peace with him for his righteous zeal, and he assured him of the Creator's beneficent attitude toward him. In other words, he was not going to have to fear about any retaliation coming from Zimri's family. Furthermore, God rewarded him by making him and his descendants an everlasting priesthood. You see, until this time, Aaron and his sons, they were the priests, and those that would be born to them afterwards would become priests. Well, Pincus, although he's Aaron's grandson through Eleazar, was already born. And so, technically speaking, he was not to be considered a priest until this event. So, it was determined that he would be a priest, and it was determined that the high priesthood would be the possession of his descendants because his righteous zeal, motivated by the right thing and for the right purpose, separated him from the rest of the tribe of Levi, and it was because he was concerned for the entire nation. Now, we also see that Pincus was no respecter of persons. And when it came to those who offended God's house and God's people, he didn't care who they were. And I mean by that, Zimri was a notable man in the tribe of Simeon. The Midianite woman, Cozbi, was the daughter of a Midianite chieftain. And so my point is, their high rank and their status, their elitism, did not cause Pincus to hesitate when it came time to take action. So we should take note of the fact that in Pincus' case, these Midianites were so intent on destroying Israel that they were willing to give their daughters to harlotry. That's how zealous they were to destroy God's people. And today, of course, there are those who hate God's people, they hate Israel, and they'll strap explosives to their women, to their children. And so no wonder God tells Israel, harass the Midianites and smite them. You have to remember that it was along with the Moabites, the Midianites, who, motivated by hate, harassed Israel. They beguiled Israel in the matter of the sin of Baal Peor. And so then Israel was to consider them their enemy, and Israel was to cause them distress. And this hostility between the two continues to remain. It's alive and well today. In fact, it is taught by rabbinical sources that the state of war between Israel and between Midian is in order to demonstrate to God's people that what they saw as attractive, that is, in this case, the beautiful daughters of Midian, what they saw as attractive is in reality their enemy. You see, the immorality that was exhibited by Midian was a threat to Israel's existence, and thus they must be viewed, and anything like that must be viewed, as a constant enemy, and should be harassed, it should be smitten. You see, because from the beginning, that has been the tactic of the adversary, and he's used it very successfully. He presents God's people with a fruit that looks good. He tempts them with what appears to be good to the eye, but he always conceals the evil and the true intent. And this is very important for us to remember because whether through Midianites or whether it's people in our own family, the adversary will use what seems to be good in order to harass and to beguile us. And if we give in to that, a cancerous cell takes root and the subsequent moral plague sweeps through our lives, affecting not only us, but many of those around us. Therefore, we must emulate the zeal of Pincus to put a stop to it. And I would say, first, in our own lives. Then, by being zealous for the things of God, we can identify and hopefully stem the tide of those ideologies, those deeds that would infect those around us and ultimately the entire body. And once again, what I'm saying should not be construed as a license to be aggressive and to be violent toward those that we disagree with, even if we know that they're wrong. I believe that we must always monitor our motives. You know, sometimes people will hide behind a feigned zeal for his house in order to be right rather than doing what is right. Our zeal must be genuine, and it should be born out of a concern for the body at large, not ourselves necessarily. And on that note, I think it's imperative to remember that the Messiah was zealous for God's house too. In fact, when Yeshua engaged the money changers and those who were selling livestock and doves in the court of the temple, he reacted in a way that some considered at the time, and some might even consider today, harsh. But it prompted his disciples to recall this from the scripture. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." So we see that Messiah had zeal for the Father's house. He had zeal for the things of God. But I want you to take note of the fact that he didn't take a javelin and end the lives of the guilty. To the contrary, he eventually allowed the guilty to take a javelin and thrust it into his side. Why? Because his concern is for the whole body. And so in a manner of speaking, he took that cancer upon himself. And why? That the body might be cleansed and made whole. And so in closing our Torah tidbit this week, I want to underscore the fact that we need to be zealous for God's house and for God's ways, and we need to vigorously stand for righteousness and resist corruption and immorality, and especially in this day and time. But it must be with a genuine and loving concern for His people. It must be emblematic of His justice and not our own. Our zeal for His house must be tempered with the wisdom that comes from Him. And that's it for this week's Torah Tidbit. Thanks for joining me. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.